This is A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And today, I have a special guest with me, Maria Berlin. She is with the Hispanic Caucus, and she also started the group Hispanics Have a Voice Too. Welcome to the show, Maria. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having the invite, and I hope we can describe what we're doing.
Yeah, you're the vice chair with the Dem NPL Hispanic Caucus. Can you tell us more about how you got involved with the Democratic Party here in North Dakota?
Yes, of course. I am the chair. My husband is the co-chair. So anyway, it started with this administration and with the Dreamers. And we were just listening to a lot of the Dreamers that were having problems with their legal status and how they were being divided, how a lot of people were being deported without any crimes that they had seriously committed. And so we decided that it's time to get voting. So I began asking around in my little town of Fairmount, North Dakota, to the few Hispanics that live here if they vote. And they said, no, we've never voted. I asked why, and they said, because we never thought that it was that our votes would count. Most of them, I would say 98% of them, are American-born. They were born here in this country, and they're American citizens, but they do not exercise their right to vote. So,
why do you think that people have that kind of apathy in the Hispanic community?
Well, it's because of the segregation and the places that they come from, like Texas is a very, especially the Valley. Once upon a time, it was very segregated, even though nobody said anything. The Mexicans, which were the most Hispanics there, the majority were Mexicans. They lived on one side of the railroad tracks, and the whites lived on the other side. Mm-hmm. So the schools were segregated. The Hispanics or the Mexicans did not go to the same schools. They went to a different school. And the quality of education, I think, was the same. However, when you said that you were going to the American part of the town of schools, they treated you more like you were educating or you were getting educating. You were getting an education, and that really, really segregated us. So when the people started to vote, they would ask them for every type of identification and proof, your birth certificate, even the parents' birth certificate. What? So people, they just shy away. And most of the time, this is why. You know, it's like, they're going to humiliate me. They're going to treat me differently. You know, I'm not going. My vote is not that important.
So what
they
won't
even take it into account.
So what you're telling me, essentially, is that for Latinos in this country, it has always been a struggle to vote.
Yes. Yes and no. I would say that the majority of the Hispanics, Latinos that live in this country and were born here have never had the opportunity to see their parents voting. This started a long time ago when I was young. I never saw my parents vote, and they both were American citizens. We were from the poor side, so we used to migrate from town to town to pick cotton. At the time, that was the largest commodity in the United States, and they needed labor hands, and we were it. So my parents never voted. Friends of ours, relatives, they've never voted. I didn't vote until I became of age, until I became 41, 42, 43, something like that. And my kids all vote, and we live by example. You know, children, if you say God bless you, they will mimic you. They will go by what they see, not by what they're told. So you can tell anybody, go vote. It's just your right. You need to vote. And if they don't see their parents doing that, or their grandparents, or their nearest relatives, like uncles and aunts, they won't do it. And it's really very saddening.
Are there lots of Hispanics in North Dakota? I mean,
we have 22,000 Hispanics in North Dakota. Yes.
Wow.
And more are coming in. We have Hispanics just in the little area of Wahpeton, North Dakota. We have over, that I know of, that have called or signed up as members, over 500 people. And this is a little tiny part. And so if you go to Minot, if you go to Bismarck, if you go to Dickinson, Williston, you'll find a larger concentration of Hispanics or Latinos. Again, we live in the shadows. They don't go where the whites go to buy. We go to Walmart. That's, I think, the only place that we congregate with the white counterparts. But unfortunately, we stay in the shadows. We have parties. We invite each other. We have quinceañeras. We invite each other. We have weddings. We invite each other. And it's just a small group. And every little town or every big city has their group. And we have to try to get into that group and to not teach them, but actually just give them the information of what is needed for us to progress. We have good examples like Cesar Chavez, like Dolores Hinojosa. We have a lot of good examples out there that have fought for our rights, because it is a right. It is not a privilege. It's a right. We have the right. We have the right to choose who can govern us. We have the right to pick and choose. And we're not taking advantage of that. And it's so necessary. It is so necessary, especially at this time and age when the Dreamers are having so much problems. They are in limbo right now. They don't know what's going to happen to them, to their families, they have bought houses, they have properties, they have businesses, and they have no idea what's going to happen to all that. And we're so big. We're just a huge, huge part of the United States. We're the largest minorities, the largest minority of the minorities. We are so powerful because the power is in the number, and we are powerful. But we have to unite. We have to. We have to, do events, meet each other. We have to get people that are natural leaders that can, that can use their vitality and unity among Hispanics. We need to enhance, we need to strengthen and recognize the image of Hispanics, to act as a liaison for Hispanic interests with constituents, individuals, and groups in the city, state, and nation. We need to do all that. And we can. We only need to voice out our concerns and just hope that the people see this administration, the way it's handling our concerns and our issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you made a lot of points that many people may not have thought about or even considered, especially here in North Dakota. I had no idea that there were that many Hispanics in the state right now. If you're just joining in, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp on A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM. And I am here with Maria Berlin. She is the vice chair of the DEM-NPL Hispanic Caucus. And she's also the co-founder of the Hispanics Have a Voice 2, the DEM-NPL Policy Committee member in District 25. And you can go find her on Facebook at Hispanics ND. You can also check out the links that we will share with you along with this show, so you can go find the Hispanics Caucus Facebook page, the North Dakota NPL Democratic Hispanic Caucus Facebook page and link, as well as Hispanics Have a Voice too. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for elucidating on the topic of voting for Hispanics, especially here in North Dakota. What do you say to the persons out there that are feeling unwelcome, especially by this administration, and they may feel like their vote doesn't count? And so what's the use of going out and voting at this time? What would you say to them?
That is precisely the answer that I get all the time, that I try to get someone in to join us in our meetings. We have the need to inform the Hispanics that the Constitution was made for all of us, all American citizens. The citizenship comes with benefits. Let's take advantage of those benefits. That would be the Bill of Rights. Let's take advantage of what we have. And we can become very strong, and we can voice our concerns, and we can get rid of people like this administration has right at the moment, where we are being demonized. We are being told that we are rapists, we are thieves, we're drug dealers, we're drug users, we're every criminal in the book. And they generalized all of us. We do have some hard criminals, but every ethnicity, every race, every religion has one or more. So, you know, that is not fair. But people see us as, you're a criminal. And they have institutionalized what we once took for granted, like coming into this country illegally. They have now criminalized it. So we're criminals. The moment we set foot here without a legal document, we are criminals. And there are so many avenues that we can abide by with the immigration. They're here to help us. They really are. And a lot of people don't realize that. But we have the U visa, and that is the visa for women that get abused by either their husbands or their boyfriends, or, you know, even children. And men also, if you, especially in Mexico right now with the cartels, if they try to recruit you and you don't want to work for them, they will use any kind of threats to make you do it. And there is a way that you can come here legally. There is a way. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of forms. But there is a way. And so we try to help those that come over and have an illegal status here. We try every avenue that is out there and they could use for their benefit and see if they can be here legally. However, some of these processes take forever, decades. And we can change that by uniting, by going to all this organizations that are very strong in the nation, and they have the number and they have the power. We have joined them. We have become one as a coalition with this organizations, where they advise us, where they tell us what we can do, what that person can do, and we just don't want them living in the shadows anymore.
And I have a question for you. So there's a lot of controversy about a program, one of two actually, that President Obama actually made some, you know, he made a proclamation. It wasn't really a policy change for DACA. And it's still something that is being heavily debated. President Trump has stalled the implementation of DACA. Still, it is a contentious issue. What kind of hope can we hold out for Dreamers? My first question. And then I'll ask you about the wait times for undocumented people paperwork next.
Again, the thing is that we have to unite. Those that can vote, we have to vote. We have to show this administration that we will no longer take the lives of people that have committed no crimes, that are here for no fault of their own, that have, you know, done everything in the book. They're living fruitful lives. They are going to school. They're becoming professionals. They are good people. We are good people. We stand to ourselves. We don't try to mingle, or we don't try to make any kind of revolts on any issue. But we need to unite. We need to vote. We need leaders. We need young people that can go out there and voice the benefits that we have. By doing this, we can swindle, or we can put anybody that we want in office, because we can unite with people that think like us, and that is all other minorities, that is Caucasians, that is any other ethnicity that is in this country, in this state. And if we unite with them and we vote, we can get anything done. And then we can say, this is what we need. We'll have the negotiating power on our side.
I have a question about the wait times. I wanted to reiterate something you said earlier. You said sometimes the wait times for paperwork, people processing their paperwork so that they can have a documented status in the United States, can take a decade sometimes or longer. Most people don't understand that. First of all, I wanted to let you talk a little bit about that, because for those that are talking about this topic, there tends to be a response from a lot of white Americans, especially, that says, you know, get in line, follow the law, do everything you're supposed to do. And people that are trying to get documentation are saying, we're doing that. We're trying to do that. And we're still being rounded up and deported while we are trying to process our paperwork. Can you speak to the wait times and how voting can help us unite to change some of those policy processes?
Yes, most people think that we cross the border illegally because we want to be called criminals. That's not true. We come to this country because we are hungry, or we don't have the education to really work in our nations of origin and make a living for ourselves and our families. So we come here with that hope, with that dream of making a few dollars and going back using those funds, and maybe we can enrich a little bit of our lives over there. However, when we get here, we don't have the documentations. We have now the E-Verifies. We don't have the documentations to be able to go to work unless we buy some documentation from some people that have no scruples, and they will charge an arm and a leg. These people that come here illegally, they are very tired, frightened, and they will do anything to get a job. They're hungry. They don't have any place to live. And, you know, it is not that we come here because we just want to break the law. That's not true. Now, if immigration would work with us, if this administration, or all administrations for that matter, would work with us, you know, the first preference is if you married an American citizen. But there's been a lot of fraud committed doing that. And it's making it harder and harder for people that really get married because they love someone and they want to share their lives with them forever and have children and form families and be happy. And there's a lot of scrutiny when they apply. And some of them are very lucky and some of them are not. Then we have the people that have...
I have a question for you, though, because... you know, I want to make it very clear that the scrutiny is on Hispanic people. The scrutiny is on people of color, because I think we have an orange president that has had his fair share of immigrant wives, and nobody has been very careful about looking into the nature of their arrangement. Not to mention, and by the way, I'm not aware that Melania has a real relationship with Donald Trump, because she sure as hell doesn't want to go anywhere near him. I mean, she looks like she's a hostage in that situation. But there it is, a legitimate marriage in the White House. And she was working while undocumented. So she was committing fraud, as well as our president hiring undocumented people to build some of his Trump buildings. So I wanted to address the fact that this allegation of our committing fraud or marriage fraud to just get documentation is a way of profiling Hispanic people, because obviously the president and white people like him are abusing that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I, for one, have met a lot of people that know that I'm in this organization that have called us, and they want to see if they can get a legal status going. And of course, we have tried. We're trying. We don't give up. And the thing is that we want to make sure when they're married, we tell them, we ask them, you know, this is what's going to happen in an interview. You must be prepared. And we tell them, no lies. Don't ever lie to an immigration officer. Don't ever lie to an ICE agent. Do not lie. You know, be truthful. And we have found out that the majority of the people that get married to an American citizens are real. They're real. But they have come to us and said, well, they denied us the application because they said that we were committing fraud because I work in construction and I work with this company, and they send us out to other states, and they pay for a hotel, and they're saying that we're committing fraud. And, you know, either you have to be very rich, or you have to have a lot of money so that you don't work and you're there with your wife all the time. So this is why I'm bringing this up. I mean, there has been cases where, yes, there were some fraudulent ones. But mind you, the majority are real. The majority are legit. And as for Mr. Trump, I hate to say this, because I know I'm being attacked daily in Facebook, in the Habit page. I'm being attacked as being pro-criminal. I want the criminals to come here and rape children. I want the criminals to come here and you know, take welfare. Well, you and I and the majority of people know that that is not true. There's no one. I mean, I challenge anyone that can go to the social service office and apply for welfare without any documentation, no birth certificates, no social security, nothing, and see if they get some welfare. They won't. Mm-hmm. There's no place on this nation that will give them welfare. Now, you know, and it's very, we're a very proud race. Especially the Mexicans, we're very proud. We don't like to ask for handouts. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't. We will work. We will clean houses. We will work in factories. We will work in, you know, in the fields with our bodies bent 8, 9, 10 hours during the whole day, mm-hmm. where you can't even try to straighten up because there's no way. You have to really let your body cool off. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we're going through. And for him to demonize us every chance he has, it's really not fair. And it's really not justice. And unfortunately, in this red state, we have a lot of people that believe and follow him. They believe what he says. Oh, you know, the Mexicans just come to rape women. The Mexicans, and I even tell them, look at all these shootings. Who is the main race that does all these shootings in school and takes away innocent lives? It is the Caucasians. Who are the biggest incestors? They are Caucasians. Who are the biggest pedophiles? It is the Caucasians. You know, and yet this man has the audacity to call us rapists, to call us criminals, to call us pedophiles, to call us every name in the book. And people look at us like, I don't want to be near you.
Maria, don't you think that a lot of what Trump is doing when he says these things about Hispanics, when he says these things about Mexicans, isn't it dog whistling to white supremacy? Isn't this just a way for him to kind of dig below the surface of white people's fears? Because I would like you to address whether or not you believe that this border wall is about security, that these statements about, you know, you are in favor of criminals coming here is really about keeping Americans safe from terrorism or something dangerous. Is there really a danger coming from us?
Of course not. And we all know that. Even he knows that. He is trying to divide. No, not, I'm sorry. I'll take that back. He's not trying. He has divided this country. Yeah. We now see more racism. We now see more diversification, you know, as to what this man is doing. We have people that are really trying to get us into a state where we can fight back. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. We are not aggressive. We are not the aggressive type of people. We are very, I wouldn't like to say we, God, my words, you have to excuse me. But we're really a nonpartisan group. We are concerned individuals. We will help other people, you know, especially our own. We are not what he's called. He's just a racist. His father was a KKK member, and he is one too. And I have a theory, and I could be wrong, but my theory is that he has opened the doors in the police force, in the immigration and border patrol, in the FBI, in the CIA, for the white supremacists to infiltrate, amen, to get hired. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing more police brutality than ever. You know, he is dividing. Mm-hmm. He is always, speaking up for the white supremacists. He's always saying that they're right also. They are never wrong. And yet he demonized every other group in this country. And so, he had a plan, he had a goal, and he has achieved it. Unfortunately, he has. Mm-hmm. We now have people fighting with us, even our own relatives fighting with us, telling us, go back home. You just come here for the welfare. You know, and they've forgotten already that their grandparents, maybe their parents or their at least their grandparents, once came here illegally, and they were illegal, and they also suffered what most of these people are suffering.
I want to say something about that word. I don't believe that human beings can be illegal. I don't believe that any human can be like the human is labeled as a crime. We are not crimes. We are humans, right? Right. And I don't like alien because I didn't come from another planet. I think that the very word denotes how far someone wants to put me from this continent where my ancestors came from, originated from, tens of thousands of years ago. I didn't travel on a boat anywhere, and yet I am called an anchor baby. My parents did not migrate from Europe to come here to make me. My parents were already on this continent, on this land, and their ancestors had been trading up and down the Mississippi Valley for thousands of years. So how do we address, as Mexicans who are indigenous to this continent, to this land, how do we address the fact that the border, this artificial border, did not cross us? We didn't cross it. And also, how do we address the fact that we, as indigenous First Nations people from this continent, have every right to be here? The whole papers, please, the nationalism with which the birthers out there, with which Trump sides with in saying that Obama isn't from this country, so he shouldn't have been president, is the same kind of hatred that he's putting on Hispanics specifically. So how do we address that as Hispanics?
Well, we're forgetting the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, mm-hmm. which was in 1846. We are forgetting that that never ended. It's still open. We were here first. You know, Mexico was, and I hate to repeat this every time, but Mexico was the republic for California, Texas, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Colorado, and so on. It was a big, big variety of land, and we were here. We had industries, we had haciendas, we had homes. This was our place. This was our home. And then with the Treaty of Guadalupe, we had the capacity to be both American or Mexican citizens. We could travel back and forth, which we did for a long time. And then the prohibition of alcohol came into place, and that's when the borders were put up, and they were put up for customs, not for immigration. And then they decided to make it an immigration issue. Then we had in 1957 the El Chamizal. You know, the Rio Grande decided that it was going to give Mexico more land than the United States. So the United States went ahead and claimed that. The Rio Grande should have not done that. I mean, the Rio Grande River had a mind of its own. So we decided to give that land to the United States again, with the condition that they were either Mexicans or American citizens. That only lasted for a small while. You know, we were not paid, but only for the land, not the infrastructure that had been set there and that many are now taking advantage of, the labor and hard work of others. But this is how we have elected people to do this. We can stop this insanity. We can say enough is enough and start raising our voices and voting these people out, these people that... It is remarkable. They're running for office, and yet knowingly that they have a large amount of constituents that are Mexicans and can vote them in office, they still treat us like if we were the hardest known criminals ever. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say this, but in part, it is our fault because we have to do what we have to do, and that is say enough. We will not take this from you anymore. You know, let's put in people there that are willing to work with and for us. We are the largest minority in the United States. We are builders. We build businesses. We build homes. We build whatever we can. We improvise. You know, we don't have to wait for the new technology to come in. We improvise on anything we can do, and we do it. But the main thing, the one thing that is keeping us under the thumb of this administration and any other alike that comes along is the fact that we don't unite and we don't vote.
This is very important stuff. I am here with Maria Berlin. She is the vice chair of the Democratic MPL Hispanic Caucus, co-founder of the Hispanics Have a Voice 2, and Dem MPL Policy Committee member for District 25. Thank you for being with us. If you want to get a hold of Maria, if you want to get involved, if you want to find out how you can get involved with the Hispanic Caucus, or how you can vote this year, you need to get a hold of her. Go to their Facebook page at Hispanic ND, or you can also go to at HHAVT, which is Hispanics Have a Voice 2.ND. I wanted to give you an opportunity to sell us here in North Dakota, okay? Because this is a red state, as you have stated earlier. And as long as I have lived here, let's just say I have never found the optimism that you have to believe that Democrats could have the power here. Please sell me on where you get this optimism from, and can Hispanics really sway the vote here in North Dakota? Tell us about how powerful we are. Sell me.
Well, we are very powerful. We have a senator, Heidi Heitkamp, that won with 3,000 votes. We have more than that. We really do. We have at least 10,000 voters out there. And we can make or break anyone. We really can. But again, it's the unity that we need to establish first. But democracy is democracy. And this is what most of us come to this country for the democracy. We want to be treated like everyone else. You know, this is a country that proclaims to be Christian. Mm-hmm. And yet, we find a lot of people that will tolerate a president that is unfaithful, uh-huh. A president that will say horrendous things about women, mm-hmm. A president that has cheated older or seniors from their savings in giving them classes of real estate that are not even allowed in this country. He has subcontracted contractors to finish his jobs and then does not pay them. And these poor people have to pay their employees or material. I mean, he has committed all kinds of crimes and he dare demonize us. Mm-hmm. This is a man that is so crooked. This is a liar. This is a man that every other word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. This is a man that proclaims to be so smart, yet he has no idea about what compromises each law in this state, mm-hmm. or in this nation. You know, this is a man that is so unbelievable antichrist. Mm-hmm. He does not. And yet you have the white evangelicals, you know, protecting him, saying he was allowed by God to be placed as president. Excuse me? You know, you don't use that theory with me, because then I will ask, really? And then what about the young children that are born with handicap, that have or suffering from leukemia or cancer, and these are babies, you know, then this God is only for the rich and mighty and not for the poor? You know, what kind of a God is this? And this is what the white evangelicals are portraying to us at this time and point. And we really can. Sí, se puede. We can do everything we can, but we must unite. Unity. We have to solidify with all the Hispanics, all the Latinos in this state. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Democrats, and there's a lot of GOPs also that believe like we do, yet they don't want to lose the race, mm-hmm. so they'll go the other way.
Well, I have to tell you, I think that we have to figure out a way to be efficient in voting and talk about the process for us, because I will tell you, as a Mexican that has been living here in the state of North Dakota, well, I'm actually in Minnesota, but I was living in North Dakota previously, and our business is in both states. We are broadcasting in both states. The voting process is not as simple for us, people of color in particular, here in North Dakota, because one of the things that I saw was that there was a bias at the voting polls. I would take people in to vote, and the scrutiny with which they were treated at the voting booth was much different than white folks. They had to show that they had their paperwork, and of course, I made sure that they brought, you know, driver's license, proof of a bill from their home, so that they could show that they live somewhere in the community. But they were very heavily scrutinized, and I would say discriminated against. I personally have experienced this, being discriminated at the polls, where they will tell me, I am not listed at this polling location and I have to leave. Or I literally have to carry around, and I'm born and raised in the U.S. of A. Okay. This is why I speak perfect English with no accent to be found. I was born and raised, but yet I got to travel around with a copy and the original of my passport so that I can prove everywhere that I am an American citizen, because I'm not treated that way. So could you speak to how do we effectively vote without being harassed? Where do we report harassment at the polls if we experience that? And what do you make of all of this talk on the right about voter fraud? Is this really an issue when it comes to us? Because we're being accused of voter fraud, and yet I'm an American citizen, and I feel like there's fraud in the way that Mexicans are treated at the polls.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you something that perhaps you might not be aware of because of your age. We have a big age difference here. But when I was a little girl, there were in the polls itself, it said no dogs, no Mexicans allowed in the building.
Wow.
So how would you vote? You couldn't vote. Mm. At the same time here, we have, North Dakota has nothing but small towns. Mm. You have Fargo, you have Bismarck, you have Minot. But they're smaller in comparison to other cities in the nation. So when you live in a small town like I do, everybody knows everybody. I have taken also some Hispanics to vote, and I have challenged them on the law, even though you know I'm an older person, and sometimes I forget the conversation. But when I've taken them, and they show in North Dakota, as you know, all they have to do is show their ID.
Right.
And their ID, if it states that they live in that town, they can vote in that town. Mm-hmm. And they have said, well, do you have your American passport?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your birth certificate? Mm-hmm. So I will tell them, What do you take to the Department of Transportation or Department of Motor Vehicles to get your license or your ID? And they said, well, I take my birth certificate and my Social Security. And I said, exactly. Mexicans do too. We don't have a special program for us.
Yeah.
So if they can attest, if they are satisfied that we're American citizens and we can have the driver's license, which is a privilege, you know,
mm-hmm.
then excuse me, but you have to take us as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is a debate that goes almost every year that we have voting. And I have now translated all the voting rules and regulations into Spanish. I have contacted the Secretary of State and perhaps the future Secretary of State, Josh Boucher.
Mm-hmm.
And I have told them that I have translated all these forms and I would like for them to see if they can pass it. Because even though we have a lot of our millennials know English, they study here, they have no accent like you do, but we have people my age.
Yes.
And some of us do not speak English.
Mm-hmm.
We speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need that little sign that says, vote aquí, vote here.
Yeah.
We need that little sign that says, this is the ballot. Mm-hmm. This is how you will fill it out.
Thank you for translating all of that material. Would you be willing to make that available to our station so that we can share it with our audience?
Absolutely. Yes. I'd be more than happy to.
Wow. What a service that you provided that, because there are, like my parents, they need that. They're more comfortable speaking and, you know, reading everything in Spanish. And by the way, people from my generation and people from your generation, they're still doing everything in Spanish. They're still watching all their news, getting all of their information in Spanish. If you go to my house, if you go to my parents' house, it's all Univision all the time.
Yes, I know that very, very well. But we have to demand that as citizens we have the right
mm-hmm.
to our Bill of Rights that includes the first 10 amendments, and we have to demand that, and we have to tell them, you know what, no, I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is imperative that the seniors are being taken care of and listened to.
Mm.
You know, Cindy, I had the privilege of teaching citizenship classes, and of course in Spanish, because most of these people that are taking them are in their late 60s or early 70s like me. And so what we do is we teach them government and the Constitution. And you don't know the it brings tears to my eyes to see these people so happy, because they know now the Constitution. They know where that law came from. They know what that law means. They know, and they're so proud. I mean, I like to take them to events, and I like to, you know, have them stand up, and I ask anybody, you know, if you want to ask them a question about the Constitution, they know more than I do. I mean, they really do. And to see their eyes light up, and then we only, most of the organizations that I have been in contact with put more emphasis on the youth, as they should, because they're the future, and they need to have the ability or to develop their talents and abilities to be leaders. However, you know, we have to really put a little praise there for the older generation, because they love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they love to teach their grandkids. And their grandkids come home and they will tell their grandparents, God, my teacher was so impressed. She didn't know I knew this. And she asked me, who taught you? And I said, my grandma. But your grandma doesn't speak any English. It doesn't matter. You know, it does not matter. The rights are there in English and in Spanish and in any other language for us, because we are American citizens. I'm going to say U.S. citizens, because Mexicans are also American citizens, because it's America, the continent of America, which a lot of the Caucasians do not understand,
mm-hmm.
that we are also American citizens because of the continent, not the nation.
That's right. I always get told that when I'm in Mexico. I'm
yes.
never allowed to forget it. If you're just joining us, this is a Mexican Crossing Lines. I'm here with Maria Berlin. If you want to get a hold of Maria and ask her any questions, you can get a hold of her at 701-899-0055. And if you want to call into the station and leave us a message for Maria or for a Mexican Crossing Lines, Cindy Gomez-Shemp or Duke Gomez-Shemp, you can call us at 701-566-0917. Our message line is 701-566-0917. To get a hold of Maria Berlin, you call 701-899-0055. You can also find them at Hispanic ND, or you can go and find them at HHAVT.ND. That's Hispanics Have a Voice Too. Find them on Facebook. And we're talking today about the importance of the Hispanic vote and the presence of the Hispanics in the state of North Dakota, which apparently is like in the tens of thousands. I did not know that. I didn't realize that we had so much power here in the state of North Dakota and overall in the country. I mean, I know that the Latino vote is important. I know that the Latino vote has been exploited, has been used, and we have about 10 minutes left. I want to talk in these last 10 minutes about the Democratic Party. And here's why. As a Mexican, and I am 40 years old now, and I have to say, in the time that I have lived, my sentiments about the Democratic Party, as well as the Republican Party, have changed because the parties have changed. The parties themselves have changed. The people, the policies, the ideologies of the parties have changed. And right now, there is a feeling. I know as a Mexican, I feel this feeling. I don't know if a lot of other Mexicans are feeling it, but I'm going to speak for myself here. Like the Democrats have let me down. Like, you know, we deliver and we deliver when it comes to getting out the vote and going out and voting for the Democrats. But they forget about us. They've forgotten about us. They've forgotten about what's happening to our people. Obama barely threw us a bone with that DACA thing kind of on the way out. And it really wasn't a strong, legal initiative. There was no law behind it. It was just like, hey, we're going to suspend the raids on Dreamers for a while. And look where that's gotten us. We've got nothing to show for it, really. So could you address how Latinos feel about the Democratic Party and why we should stay in this party?
Well, that is the beauty of this country. We don't have to stay in any party. We can even build our own party. And independents have done it. Mm-hmm. The Green have done it. You know, the thing is that Democrats are good old boys network. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you know them, you know, they're for you. They will endorse you. They will be behind you. And that's it. They don't give anybody a chance. Okay? Mm-hmm. They will not give anyone a chance to run for that seat, even though they say, we need candidates. We need candidates. Mm-hmm. I tried to place a candidate for the 41 district, mm-hmm, in Fargo. Mm-hmm. Her name is Aurora Ortega, mm-hmm, and she is a very smart young lady. Mm-hmm. She's a mother of two. She is an American citizen by naturalization, and she's just a superb candidate. Mm. And I tried to run her, and there was a lot of static given me, and I was like, oh my Lord. Mm-hmm. I had to come to the point to tell the chair of the Democratic Party, if we're going to be treated this way, we will make our own party. Mm-hmm. And maybe we will not win, but you know what? You won't either.
Yeah.
You will not either, because we're going to be that instrument, that that is that barrier for you to get anybody elected. And we will. We can. We have the power. If people only knew how much power we had, oh my gosh, this would be a different country. And for the better. You know, we don't want special recognitions. We don't want special programs. We don't want special anything. We just want to be treated equally.
Wow.
That
is such a powerful message. You are bringing that inspiration. I am like all jazzed up just from listening to you. Like, you've really inspired me. Maria Berlin, bringing the heat. Go check out Hispanics Have a Voice Too on Facebook, or also go to the Dem NPL Hispanic Caucus on Facebook. Go to their websites. We'll be sharing those here on Mexican Crossing Lines with our show. If you want to get a hold of Maria Berlin, once again, you can reach her at 701-899-0055. Thank you so much for being with us today here on a Mexican Crossing Lines. I really appreciate that you have come to educate us about what our power is as Hispanics within the state of North Dakota and in these United States. So it's time for us to take that power and use it.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being here with us on a Mexican
Crossing Line. It was an honor for me to be in your show. Thank you so much for the invite.